Hello and welcome into the Sight and Sound Technology Podcast. My name is Stuart Lawler. Lovely to be back with you as always. And this is episode number 34. Hope you're remaining to stay safe and well wherever you may be. And remember, you can get in touch with us by sending an email to podcast@sightandsound.co.uk. We always love to hear from you. Now, on today's show, GPS indoors. Will walking around a shopping centre or airport be a reality soon? It certainly will, and it is already, because we'll be speaking to Edan Mayer from right here to tell us all about it. That's coming up. Stay right where you are. Well, GPS access has been around for many years. Many of us have tried and tested many different solutions. We've gotten lost while doing so, and I think in the main we've had lots of fun. I certainly have had anyway. But GPS indoors is something that's relatively new and maybe something that's not as tried and tested as the great outdoors, so to speak. And a company called Right Here have been doing some really innovative things, and Edan Mayer from Right Here joins us today to talk about his product and the potential it can bring for people with sight loss. Edan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to have you. Now, whereabouts are you, first of all?
Well, I'm in a city called Ra'anana here in Israel. It's currently on its third lockdown. So it's challenging and strange times here in Israel.
Right, because one of the things we've been reading is that you guys are doing pretty well with the vaccine at the moment in Israel.
This is true. I think as far as I've been able to see, we're, I think, number one in the world with that. But our numbers are still spiking in terms of, you know, of cases. So, on one hand, it's like a lot of optimism with the vaccine. But on the other hand, we still don't see the effect of it. So it's kind of strange. But yeah, I think more than 30%, as much as I remember, more than 30% of the population has already been vaccinated.
That's absolutely amazing. It's fantastic to hear, and I think it gives us all a hope that, you know, this thing will go away eventually, and we will get through it. So, Edan, just let's talk a little bit before we talk about the product that you're going to tell us all about today. Let's talk a little bit about you, because I was reading on the Right Here website that you and your business partner, I think, were involved in something completely different in the beginning, and then you almost kind of stumbled across this, right?
Right. Yes. You know, in the beginning, when people ask us, how did you came up with this? I used to say almost by an accident. Now I usually say with a lot of luck, because it's really, I'm so happy with where we're at now and how things we've been involved. And in the very beginning, Gil and myself, we were working on a shopping experience type of app. We basically had that idea there, whenever you enter a store, you'll get a coupon, a personalized coupon that will be effective as long as you're inside the store. Now, to be able, like, you know, if you get outside the store, there you go, the coupon has vanished, you have to decide really quick. It was a cool concept. But and to be able to do that, we were looking for technology to identify whether you're inside the store or outside the store. And we run with that about a year, maybe a bit longer than that. And after a year, when we had some successful pilots with that as well, we realized that first we have, like, we're working amazingly as a team, that we have the technology, that the technology is really amazing. And we might talk about it a little bit more later. But thirdly, we realized that it's not a very big mission that we really want to achieve for the next few years. Like, we were asking ourselves, like, providing like 10% discount to people at the mall, is that what we are chasing for? Mm. I mean, well, we're not sure if it's the right proposal. And we were looking to do something with, you know, more meaning, I would call it, or more, nowadays it's called impact.
For the greater good.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll feel that at the end of the day, we've done something important, not just, you know, I don't know, moving dollars from one pocket to another. Mm-hmm.
How did you trigger, though? How did you make the thought about blind people? I'm always fascinated how people get into this, sort of move into this field. Because obviously, okay, you want to do something for the greater good. Did you know someone who was visually impaired, or how did you make that leap?
Not at all. Actually, we knew that we wanted to do something more meaningful, but we didn't know what exactly. So we, at the time, we were among the first companies to use that technology, the iBeacon technology. And we actually invited some developers, designers, and others to run some hackathon around that technology. And one of the ideas that we bring to that hackathon was this idea. Like, we didn't know at the time, I didn't even know how a blind user used his iPhone at all. So we have zero background at the time. And after that, 24 hours of hackathon, we've been able to kind of create a very minimum product, something like a prototype. And with that, we were seeking for people who are blind or visually impaired to try it out and tell us what they think about the whole concept as a whole. They were, really excited about it. Nowadays, by the way, those first testers are now, I'm happy to call them my best friends.
Sure.
Because they teach us. So, one thing I always said, even now when we're more than 4 years into that, that, and I guess forever, one of my, best friends, Adi, told me in the beginning that we will probably never understand what we're actually doing, right? Like, and I kind of take it and respect that because, I'm a sighted person. I don't feel the pain myself. And I can tell you that even of the reasons we call ourselves right here is as a self-reminder that the right thing to do is to hear or basically listen to our, to our users, to mentors, and to everyone in the field that, actually feel the pain.
It's a wonderful philosophy to have, Aidan, and you're to be commended for that. It's really great. Let's talk about then what you have developed. And this challenge, I suppose, indoor GPS, we've all been in the situation. I'm totally blind myself, and maybe standing in the middle of a big shopping center or in an airport, and maybe you're lost or you can't find help. You've looked at I guess solving this problem using a mixture of, as you mentioned, a mobile phone app and Bluetooth beacons.
Right. Yes, and I do want, even before diving into that, just telling you, I'm always getting lost myself. I mean, okay. Also sighted people get lost. I truly feel familiar with the frustration of not knowing where I am and not knowing how to reach a certain room. So I from that perspective, I do kind of come to that from a personal reason. So back to your question, in an indoor environment where there is no satellites connection or no GPS, what we're using is basically a technology called iBeacon. It's basically a BLE, Bluetooth Low Energy technology. That is the iBeacon specifically is a protocol that developed originally in Apple. And what it does is basically it's help us to identify the user position in an indoor environment. So a beacon, for those of the listeners who never saw that or never heard about it, is a small device in the size of a matchbox or an AirPods case, which has batteries inside that last for at least 3 years, at least the one we're using. It doesn't require internet connection. It does not require GPS, of course, and it does not require anything else. So basically, it's a sticker that, like electricity, for example, because it has self-power batteries. So you basically stick these beacons on the wall or on the ceiling in an indoor environment. And once our users or right here users app get in proximity into that and we can configure the ranges, they will receive the valuable information about where they are, what is there, what's around them, and so forth.
Okay, and we'll come back to that setup in just a sec in relation to the beacons, but just for a sec, let's talk about the end user's experience. So somebody downloads the app to their phone, which I'm presuming is free for the end user. Right. What would happen if an end user goes to a location that has these Bluetooth beacons? How would they kind of interact with the app?
Fantastic. So first, yes, the app is 100% free. It will always be free. It's always been free. It will always be free. We don't think that, you know, our users need to pay for the wall to be accessible. And by the way, it's not something to take for granted. It's our philosophy. It's super important to us. Once a user downloads the app, his whole journey basically starts at home. So even at home, you'll be able to open up the app and then find in the locations list, you know, his desired destination, whether it be a ride here enabled location or any other location. It also could be, you know, a bus station, for example. Here in Israel, for example, we'll list all the bus stations, bus stops, all across the country. Once you find that destination, the app will help him to simulate it first, so he could kind of build a mental map before arriving there. And secondly, it will ask him, how would you like to get there? So we have integrations with Uber, with Lyft, with GetTaxi, MoveIt, and many other public transportation apps. And we also have our own GPS navigation experience to actually reach the desired destination.
Okay.
Once arriving there, this is where, you know, the ride here indoor mode or the ride here indoor experience come into play. There, what we basically do is first answering the question, where am I? So for example, you are at the main entrance to this mall you know what, I would like to give an example of a small layout, because usually when people think about it, they think about, you know, the complexes of hospitals, you mentioned yourself, Stuart, airport. So I'm actually, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think even a small layout, like a McDonald's restaurant, for example, could also be amazing, right? If you don't know where you are.
Yeah.
So with a McDonald's setup, we'll let you know first where am I. So you are in McDonald's restaurant in this street, you know, for example. Secondly, we'll let you know what is there. So, for example, here in Israel, we'll let you know if this restaurant is kosher or not. What is the open hours? How many floors are in this specific venue, and so forth. So where am I? What is here? Thirdly is what's around me. No matter where the user is pointing with his smartphone 360 degrees around him, we will let him know what is there and what distance. So for example, just in front of you is the counter. Continue in this direction for 20 meters, for example. Or if you point to another direction, this is where the seating area is. Continue in this direction for 2 meters, restrooms, exit, and so forth. I would say the main features, although there are other features to mention. So one is the ability to call for local assistant if needed. In a small layout like a McDonald's, it doesn't require it, but in a bigger complex, as it usually is. And in addition is, you know, integration that we've done with Be My Eyes, for example. So you have the ability to kind of recognize objects in the space.
Fantastic. So when the person calls for local assistance, that's calling maybe customer service in that building, is that it?
Correct. Okay. Correct. So in a hotel, for example, it will be the reception. In the mall, it will be the information center, you know.
Fantastic.
In the university, the front desk.
And then, Aidan, I'm presuming, or at least I hope I'm correct, when you call them for assistance, they can geolocate you and see where you are?
Yes. Well, first, the answer is yes, by the way. Having said that, it doesn't really require it, because you as a user already know where you are as well. I mean, we already told you where you are. So it's basically a phone call. So we have some installations that we also done it not through a phone call, but through other channels. But if it's a phone call, the other side of the phone can just ask you where you are and you'll be able to answer it.
Okay.
In other words, we can also send the location.
There's a great video on your website, and I think it's probably what you were talking about just a second ago. Somebody goes into a McDonald's restaurant and they see the counter that says that, you know, the seating area is over to the left, go 10 feet and then turn left. And it struck me as I was watching that video that in particular at the moment when we have to socially distance and, you know, maybe trying to find queues, knowing even that the counter is 10 feet away, that information is very helpful if there were a queue standing at the counter.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm so happy you bring it up because, you know, first, people tend to think about what right here is doing or in general, audible wayfinding system, that it's, as I said before, for mostly big complexes. But the truth is that it's super important in every space. Also, the small layouts, as I said, McDonald's. We've done all of them here in Israel, for example. But any other location that is open for the public. And now with the new social distancing kind of reality, it's finally clearer than before because, you know, in small layouts, for example, or any layout, if a blind person would go there, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Stuart, you know, you can always ask somebody, hey, can you help me just reach out to this you know, certain destination, you know, the counter, whatever it is. And now it's not necessarily an option anymore. I mean, first, it's kind of, you don't necessarily want someone to, you know, go hand in hand with you, because who knows, right?
Yeah.
And secondly, the other person probably don't want to actually, you know,
sure,
provide that assistance. So I think that the need is just stronger than before. And you know what? I just want to add one more thing to that. You know, there is the braille signs everywhere we go, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with that, you know, putting aside the amount of people who are actually able to read that, even for those who can read that, who want to touch it nowadays?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a really good way to do all this by just touching your phone and listening to your phone and receiving the information from the Right Here app to make sure that you get there safely. Now, let's take it from the other perspective, Aidan. So if I am a business and I want to make my service open to people using the Right Here app, what would happen for me?
Yes. So first, from a business perspective, I think, you know, the progress is very simple. The first thing is, you know, contacting us, and then we understand about the layout. We understand that we do a very brief mapping of the layout, understanding how many points of interest are there. Based on that, we kind of, you know, we create the whole proposal of engagement with us that have different factors. But once decided, the installation of it can be done very, very simply and quickly, very fast. We have a lot of, back to the McDonald's example, they done the installations themselves in all of their restaurants. So it can even be installed by the business, not necessarily by us. And once that done, you know, the whole system will start to be operated. All the audible descriptions within the systems are usually pre-configured by us, but then they can also be changed, you know, by the customer, by the business who owns it. And you know, there are three different motivations or reasons for businesses to turn accessible. One, I think, is the obvious, is the ethical reason, right? It's just the right thing to do. Back to what I said earlier, right? It's our duty as society to have everywhere accessible, to have our world more accessible. So it's just the right thing to do. Secondly, is, you know, a lot of businesses nowadays are looking for ways to promote inclusion, to promote accessibility in their branding, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And by having Right Here or similar, you know, advanced accessibility solutions, they're basically helping their branding, helping their image to improve. So that's another reason for that. Thirdly, there is also a compliant reason to do that. So, and this obviously depends on what country you are and so forth. But in Israel, for example, having an audible wayfinding system is already an obligation that you have to have in some sort. Right? Not necessarily Right Here, of course, but you have to have something like that. Again, not all businesses, not all venues, but many of them are. Which again, make a lot of sense because you have to have, you know, public spaces accessible for everyone. So from a compliant perspective, that's another reason. And lastly, I would say, and this is mostly true for, you know, not all cases, but for many of them, when you're welcoming more people to your store or restaurant, you're basically welcoming more customers to your business.
Absolutely. So, yeah. And then so from the business's perspective, they're presumably paying, is it per beacon or does it depend on the size of what they want to map, or how does that work?
So basically there are two fees for you know, working with us. One is for the setup, which is basically, you know, then everything involved with the beacons, you know, the account setup, the training, the content creation around that and all that. That's a one-time fee. Usually that's, I would say, about 20 or 30% of the whole project. And then the other fee is the subscription to Write Here. Usually the minimum is, well, we do have some POCs for a few months, but the minimum for a contract with us is a year. Most of our contracts are for 3 years or more. And that's it. And then that's it. That's it for, you know, what it takes from their side to become accessible.
Okay.
I would also add one more thing, you know, since we realized that, you know, the whole way we think about Right Here, or we like to think about Right Here, is just like a ramp or audible ramp for people with orientation challenges. So if we want that, you know, concept to be effective, it has to be as ubiquitous as possible everywhere. And to be able to do that, we realized that the pricing should also be accessible. So most of our customers, or most of the leads we get, usually answer to, when we get to the numbers, they answer, oh, that's it. So yeah, we're happy to be as effective on that side as well.
And it's a bit of a no-brainer, isn't it? I mean, they can advertise that there's an accessible space using this technology. And as you say, it's going to bring, hopefully, more customers to their door.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. That's the goal, to be a no-brainer for businesses to have it, just to be a no-brainer.
Okay. Now, we've talked about the idea, I suppose. You know, I always think of mapping things like centers. You mentioned a McDonald's, restaurant, airports. But what about, are you doing things like big campuses, like, say, universities, and where there's lots and lots of different buildings?
We do. Yes, this time, so we have a couple of you know, already universities and hospitals. Yeah, in this project, it usually takes longer. It's usually more complex from all perspectives, you know, from the mapping side of things and designing of the content through, you know, the installation and you know, maintenance afterwards. But yeah, I think, you know, in this type of cases, I can tell you it's mostly, you know, the system work with that. It depends on the number of beacons, as you understand. And a more specific, I would say, mapping process that we do in the beginning.
And just going back to the user end for a second, how would I, as a user, say, for example, find out if somewhere is a Right Here spot, let's say? So how would I know maybe what's near me that might have the Right Here technology there already?
Yes, that's a great question. So first, you can find it through the app. We have nearby locations in the app button where you'll find all the locations that are accessible for you, from the one that is nearby to the one that is far away. Again, most of our locations are currently here in Israel. We do have some in Europe and in the US, but most of them are at the moment still here in Israel. Another way to find out if the location is accessible with Right Here or not is usually, as I said earlier, every venue that return accessible, every business return accessible, they usually, you know, shout it out loud. So you might hear it from them that they're now accessible with that system. But I think the most important, you know, question here, or most important point here, is that if, you know, you listeners are interested or looking for Right Here locations in the area and you don't find some, this is exactly where you get into, I think, into the picture. Like, we work together hand in hand with our users to turn the world more accessible. We have a lot of you know, examples of such, you know, locations that weren't accessible, they weren't thinking about accessibility, and we weren't thinking about reaching out to them, but there were a user in the neighborhood that wanted that location to be accessible because he just was visiting there every once in a while. So he told them to contact us, and that's what happened. And by the way, you can imagine that when we are, you know, reaching out to this whatever, you know, bank, for example, to be accessible with them, they react in one way. But when there is a user or this bank client that asking for that, that's a whole different game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So there's a bit of a, I suppose there is a role for the user to be an advocate there, to sort of say,
absolutely,
I want this to be a Right Here location. I want to be able to get here independently, talk to wherever it is that you like to visit, and make sure that they become a Right Here location. What's the future looking like for you guys? I mean, this technology is really interesting, isn't it? And I guess it's getting more, it's getting smarter all the time.
Absolutely. It is getting smarter. We usually, you know, we don't expose all of our plans for future, but I can tell you a few things about it. So one, we're always looking what's next with the technology and with the product. We, all of our, the R&D is just in-house here. We do it all here. And we find a lot of things that we, so I mentioned earlier our collaboration with Be My Eyes, for example, which we've done just in the past year. We understand also that there's a lot of work need to be done in the public transport area, right? Buses, bus stations, train stations. So we do a lot of work in that domain as well. As I said earlier, the work together closely with our users is super, super important to us. And we really hear and write down all feedback that we get. We put many of them into our backlog and then prioritize. So if your listeners have ideas of what should we add to the app, what should we do better, how can we do better, it's your startup as well. Think about it, just like right here is your startup as well.
Okay, that's really, really fantastic to hear, and that you're so open to people getting in touch. Speaking of which, how can people find out, and by the way, the website is fantastic. I've thoroughly enjoyed looking through it. How can people find out more, have a look at the website, and of course, get that all-important app?
Sure. So first, yes, we have. Thank you for the feedback on our website. We have a website. It's www.righteheear.com. So this is the first, I would say, go-to destination. There you'll find links to the app on both Android and iPhone. You can also search for Right Here on the App Store on Google Play. I would also recommend looking for Right Here group on Facebook. We have a group there of users from all around the world, again, providing us with feedback, asking questions, sharing knowledge in the field. So I would also recommend that. And I'm happy also to provide my own email for any of you who'd like to reach out to me directly. It's Idan, Idan, at righteheart.com. I promise to answer any email.
All right, Idan, and I apologize. I realized I did not pronounce your name correctly at the start of the show, so sorry about that.
That's fine.
Listen, thank you for what you're doing for the community. Thank you for being an innovator. I think it's really, really important to talk to people like this. And I'm certainly, you know, when we can all get back out and about safely again, I'm really excited to download the Right Here app and explore in Ireland. I'm not sure if we've any Right Here locations in Ireland, but we're going to get some. And in the UK, I'm sure, in the next little while. But Idan, for the moment, stay safe and stay well, most importantly, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Idan. I have to say, I'm very hungry. How many times did we mention McDonald's in that piece? I'd love a nice Big Mac right now. And a bag of chips or something like that. Anyway, thank you, Idan. It's so interesting, isn't it, to hear about Right Here. Check out the app, and remember, you can view the Right Here locations in your area if there are any, and if there are not, get in touch. There's a nice little bit of advocacy there that we can all do to make sure that the environment around us is more accessible. That's just about it for this episode. We're back soon. Until then, from Stuart Lawler and everybody at Sight & Sound Technology, stay safe and stay well, and please stay at home. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.